Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job. We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK. Forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. So save England and the UK.
And our countries. That's why we're here. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the East Anglian's EDL Radio Show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. East Anglian's EDL Radio Show, the official EDL Radio Show, and the official EDL voice. And tonight, we're going to be discussing, of course, you know, our warrior princes, our angels. We're going to be discussing this, and we'll go into some details because there's some absolutely fantastic ladies we've got out there who stand shoulder to shoulder with us guys. And of course, sometimes they've been injured during the course of the time as well. And we've noticed that on quite a few occasions. Tonight, I've got a great panel. This evening, we've got our very own Kel, a.k.a. the Red Fox, blogger with her own great shows. And we've got Cat Strangler 101. Meow! Who let the cats out? Meow! Meow!
Meow!
We've also got Mr. Michael Green, and it's a great honour and a privilege to have him back on the show. And tonight, as I say, we do know that Tommy had to sort out. There's been some bad floods up where he lives, and he was doing a great job for his gran. There was a lot of flooding
going
on.
I'm so proud of my EDL.
Yeah, he's a good man. So
7 hours on the kitchen.
Yeah, God bless you, Tommy. You're a great guy, and doing what you did. And you're not being. Well, you was missed. God, we always miss you when you're not about, Sam. But you got to do what you got to do, boy. But as I say tonight, I'm going to read before we move on. So we've got a great panel, and we're going to be discussing. Our warrior princes, because it's only right that we do that. Do you not agree, gentlemen? We got to discuss the great work some of our great ladies do with the scourge. I love that word that Kel's induced upon the world. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so appropriate, isn't it? It's so appropriate.
It most certainly is. Anyway, I'm going to read the script tonight, guys. It's only right now and again that we do this. It's a little bit different, but as you know, ladies and gentlemen, we like to do things a little bit different now and again. So what I'm going to say is, welcome to the East Anglians, East Anglian English Defence League radio show, the place where we discuss the issues that the newspapers, TV and terrestrial radio won't touch. This is the place where you will be apprised of the unpleasant truths regarding the scourge. That is the word, Kel, put in there. and can join in the discussions about the facts, not the polished and the anonymous half-truths that the authorities publish to keep you quiet. The East Anglian EDL Radio Show is the official program for the English Defence League, so you will find the same honesty and direct approach that you have come to expect from us, EDL supporters. This is your platform. The show is your voice. Come and join us Thursdays, Fridays and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. GMT, 3:30 p.m. EDT. Your voice is welcome too, and most certainly is. And I will read something that I haven't read for a little while, and it's only right. This is something to ponder on, guys, and it always gives me a food for thought when I read this out. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. That was a gentleman called Edmund Burke, which went back, and Tim knows roughly, I think it was
1886.
Oh, thank you very much, young Tom, for that. So there you go. As I say, I thought it made a change just to read out our main script for the show this evening. So once again, guys, it's good to see you all. Oh, I've been in distress today, guys. I've got to say one thing. I've been in distress. It seems like I play an online game, which a lot of you know that I do, and it seems like maybe I was getting too popular what I'd done, you know, helping people and that during the game, and it seems like I possibly might be hacked, you know. So there you go, I suppose. What's that, Tommy?
I'm going to tell you the joke I said on Nowhere Nanty's show last night, which got very good response, and Kel probably know what it is already. I think you listening as well, won't you?
Yeah.
What's that?
When I told the joke on Nowhere Nanty's show last night.
Ah!
Oh.
God. Oh, Tommy.
Right, are we ready?
Yeah.
Right,
this is
then.
Great.
Well, it must be that good, Tommy, because Kel's roaring with laughter. I've got a giggle from Tim. ladies and gentlemen,
you should have seen No Way Nine in chat room.
But,
okay, Tommy.
Yeah, okay.
I'm muting myself.
Oh, dear. Right.
But anyway, Tommy, I'm really looking because I can hear the giggling and I can hear the expectation of our listeners. This is going to be funny. I know it is. So with that, the platform's yours, young man. Take it away.
Right. Here it is, guys. A Muslim man passes away and he sends up to heaven. So he runs up to the pearly gates and St. Peter goes, "Hey, what are you doing?" So the Muslim says, "I want to go into heaven." So St. Peter looks at his list and says, "I don't see you." So the Muslim man says, "Oh, well, the Reverend told me if I give £50 to the local church, I'll be guaranteed a place in heaven." So St. Peter says, "Well, let's wait here a second. I'll go speak to God." So 5 minutes later, St. Peter comes back and goes, "Right, here's your £50. Get lost."
I like it.
If only it were that easy.
But that is the case.
I'll tell you what, Tommy. I can't wait to see Tommy live at the Apollo. That's going to be bring the house down.
No,
oh,
it's
man. But the thing
but
about it is,
it's the religion of peace.
There
oh,
is a serious
and
aspect
I,
to that
I
joke,
just...
isn't there?
Oh, Tommy, you are so well-loved in North America. When you join the North American radio programs, the counter-jihadists, believe me, you are a hit. I think that some ladies are going to name their firstborn Tommy English.
Tommy, you've been on your bike, son.
Well, as long as it becomes a more popular name than Muhammad, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Well, who can tell, Tommy? Who can tell, young man? Of course,
that's right.
I do know that you've been very busy on the blog radio shows, Tom. And once again, a big salute to you, brother. But you know, I can't always be. You know, sometimes I just get a little bit tired. And there's some great shows out there, guys. There is some great shows, and I'm glad to see that our Tommy, Mr. Tommy English. Definitely does he does us all proud. So well done, Tommy, and to you all guys. I'm proud of you all. You do great works. I know Tim does. Kel, she's like a dynamo. She is our Poppy. We got so many great ladies out there, and this is one thing we wanted to speak about tonight. Our warrior princesses. That's what I look at. And Tom, you see them every time when you go on demonstrations, our ladies, how dedicated they are to what we do. And I don't know about you, I feel very proud of these ladies. I mean, they give up time and the children to go to these demonstrations, and they're in all sorts of weathers, don't they? And they're always there.
I was talking with you, Jeff, and I was talking with Tommy earlier today, and I was saying that I think it would be very nice to honor the past and present warrior princesses, everybody from Bodisha to Jenny. To Pocky, but Lady Michelle, to Jan of CDL, to Kel the Red Fox. And I thought that this would be a very nice way to spend the day. And Tommy is helping me because he's got some songs he's going to play later on.
Well, I could do if I could get into the studio, Kel.
I think it's nice, guys. Don't you, Tom, that we do something like this on the show. And I know our listeners out there will appreciate that. It's just not us guys on the front lines doing what we do, but it's our ladies as well, our angels. We've always called them our angels because you know what's great about having, you know, our ladies on the front ranks with us, that if you're not feeling too well, you know you got a helping hand. And that's why we call them angels, because they do tireless work. And that's right, but we dedicated this show this evening to all who've gone before us, and we have had a few of our great ladies have gone before us, and of course to all our angels, our latter day angels, you know, up to
well,
date
I'm going
now and everything.
To say, Jeff, my studio's not loading, so if I tell Kel what the songs are named, she might be able to find them.
Oh, you're having problems, are you, Tom? Yeah, well,
yeah,
it's a bit of a nightmare
sometimes. Still at the hand of the counter extremism units.
Oh,
lovely.
Oh, so dear.
Guys,
okay.
Say hello.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure they're all listening. I was just going to say I concur wholeheartedly with everything that Jeff and Tommy have said. And while I was listening to the names that were being read out by Kel, I was trying to think of how many of them I knew personally. I don't actually know that many personally, but I certainly concur with everything that Jeff and Tommy said. And there were two names that I was looking out for that I didn't hear, and that was Luchadora and Eliza Jane.
Oh, Luchadora.
Absolutely.
I think they're worth a mention.
Yeah.
I've
MP91 Freedom Quest on the Radio Jihad Network.
And Angry Mom.
Exactly.
And Angry Mom of No Way 90.
Who's all on the on Blog Talk Radio, who does participate in other shows and that. It is a salute to all our ladies out there who's, the anti-jihad movement, which they do such a great job. So that's what we're doing tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we are saluting all of our ladies this evening. And Tim, I've got to say thank you for also, mentioning a couple more names. And there's uncountably names. And I hope if you're listening to the show, guys, we do mean you. We do
ladies. Yeah. I'm sure there's hundreds, but it was just two names that I was looking out for because I have heard them on the radio before, and I'm sure there are dozens, if not hundreds. So I see Bigfoot has put into the chat room, not to mention Tricia, Sue from New Mexico, Diane of Freedom Wings, and Iggy Mom. So there's a few more for you if you haven't already mentioned those.
Yes, and
we're going to be
coming
up with our names all night long because these are fine women who are prolific counter-jihadists, and we're very, very proud of all of them.
I've just seen that picture of you on Facebook, Tim, the one where it says the dog got bored with Twitter.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, I've made the mistake of making Tommy one of my Facebook friends, and now I'm going to get it in the neck for the rest of the show. But having said
big
that,
mistake!
But having said that, Kel's made the mistake of having me as a Facebook friend, and I'm just about to comment on one of the pictures that she's put up today, which is a family of ducks in her back garden.
I saw that.
Lovely.
And she put up a lovely picture of some ducks in the back garden, and somebody had commented on them saying, well, it's a metaphor for the welfare state.
Oh, that's so, my friend Dave.
you feed these ducks, more will come, and they should be flying their sorry feathered asses south for the winter. And he was going on in this vein. And I just put another comment on the end of that one saying, well, I don't know about you, but I'm sure I can hear the one at the back going, Allah Quakbar!
Allah Quakbar! Oh, don't! You've got me coughing, Tim!
Oh, I'm showing you out the cat door right now.
So if it's the duck saying a la quack bar, will there be a geese defence league setting up any time soon?
Oh, yeah, we should have one of them, definitely.
Oh, my goodness me. Oh, dear, I'll tell you what, I've hurt myself when I was laughing so much at that. A la quack bar, come on, Tim, that's brilliant.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
my God. Bigfoot is saying in the chat room, those Muslim ducks will get after you.
Every time I go to the pond, I always get chased by a gang of ducks, so maybe those are the Sharia patrol ducks.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, the Sharia patrol ducks.
Hey, Tommy.
Well, I've got
Tommy.
To admit...
Tommy, when you see them, do they have a duck zeta on their forehead?
Oh, that's dreadful.
Guys, I've got to say that, now Kel knows where I live, and where I live
wall, just probably about 300 yards away, we've got a duck pond, and they've got geese there. And do you know what? They're probably the most friendliest. People get frightened, these geese. There's three of them. They're big, big ones as well. I think they're Russian ducks or something like that, but really big. Geese, should I say. But sometimes, I'll tell you what, it's nice, because sometimes I go around in the summer, and this is to our listeners out there, I sometimes go around and sit down there and maybe read a paper or something like that, and these geese always come and sit beside me. It's really, you know, it's really nice, you know, and peaceful. But as I say, and I don't think they're Muslim ducks, because they would be chasing me around the around the seat, wouldn't they?
Oh, I know. I think it's time to move on into the program.
Well, quite along.
We got to get serious. That Michael is joining us right now as well.
Oh, good evening, Michael. Is he on the line? Sorry, because I've just gone into chat room to say hello to everybody. Mr. Michael Green, once again, it's a pleasure to see you, and I hope you are well.
Good evening, Jeff, Tommy, Tim, Kel.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Nice to be back on the air as well, Michael.
I missed you Friday. I'm sorry for that, but I heard Kel tell me it was a powerful program. About Sergeant Blackman. I had a chance to follow the story. I know it's not the topic today, but I'd just like to say a couple words, if I may. Here in America, similar outrageous things have happened where our soldiers and Marines were prosecuted, and a few. Well, more than a few are sitting in a military prison. The thing that struck me was that this Royal Marine, you know, how dedicated he was, three tours of duty in Iraq and several tours in Afghanistan, and, you know.
He was professional, yeah. He was professional.
Yeah, and very often they volunteer to do this. It's not as if they're always compelled to do so many tours, but they want to go back and be out there with their mates and, you know.
Of course they do.
And, yeah, so just I think I've been monitoring it, you know, on Facebook. There's a group on Facebook now, and there's a Facebook page in support of this Marine. And it's just great to see the outpouring of indignation and outrage and, of course, support for him and his family. You can imagine what his wife and children are going through now, and they won't
of
see
course.
Their father for a minimum of 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. But we said, Michael, that, we had Glenn Saffer on one of our ROs, and, you know, and he said, whatever the outcome, and if it's not the right sort of thing, we will be sort of having demonstrations maybe every couple of months or so, because we're not giving up on this young soldier. He gives so much to for his country, calling the country. Can't say for politicians, because he does it. You do it for the Queen, you do it for your country, don't you? Being a soldier, it's in your blood, it's who you are. And this, as we said before, this soldier was a seasoned soldier, a professional, and it seems... It's disgraceful the way that he's been treated to be given that time, especially in the civilian prison as well. That's what got me. And the comments, I mean, we went over this Friday, didn't we, Kel? The comments that the judge made, a politically correct judge, what we got sitting there. I thought he might have chose his words a little bit different than what he did. But there you go. What do we expect? In the world we live, with political correctness, that we know that it's going to feed down into our judicial system as well. So that is the problem that we've got with these type of people. But I've got to say thank you once again, Michael, for your comments. And it is, as I say, we will not let this soldier, just fade away. And, you know, his family, we'll give him as much support as we possibly can. And I think that gentleman should know that we will do everything we can. We'll be demonstrating. We'll be doing, like, in the new year, you know, and the continuing time, we will continue to do what we said we was going to do. That's what Glenn said. So just to let anybody know that we will not let our soldier languish in a prison where they know who he is. The thing about it is, Michael, what I thought was pretty bad was they give out his name. Now, what they've done there, the judge has actually opened the doors for these extreme, you know, these core animals that knows his name and probably will get hold of information from his family, and his family could be under threat. And this is so bloody wrong. Judge, that judge, he need, what can you say about judges like that, Michael? I'll leave them. What do you think about a judge that would do that? Leave this guy, because he's going to be in just a normal type prison. And as Tommy Robinson said, these prisons are run by bloody Muslims. Even though Theresa May said, we're going to change things. Well, guess what? It's not bloody happening. It's not happening. And that guy could be under any, all sorts of threats, you know. He could have come under attack any time, being in prison with surrounded by Muslims as well. You know, they will be held accountable. If any harm comes to that young soldier or his family, as a warning goes out to all you people out there that think that you can just do these things and forget about it, guess what? Well, we won't. And we'd be held accountable for anything that happens to that young man who served his country so well. That's my point. I just want to bring up. Once again, I did say this Friday, and I do mean what I say. So there you go. Back to you, Michael.
Yeah. No, I agree with you 100%. I think this judge should be incarcerated himself. But first, he should spend some time in Afghanistan in Helmand Province, where this Royal Marine was deployed. And he can get a taste of what it's like to be in a war zone and the type of things that every day they face. And it's just outrageous that these men who sit behind the bench, you know, we have these black-robed activist judges here in America, too, that are such a bunch of self-righteous SOBs. And he had to add his editorial comments to even try to denigrate the tremendous service of this Royal Marine. That was just outrageous. If I can take a minute, I want to share something with you and with the audience. You know,
yes, please.
Over the weekend, I was on the internet and on Facebook, and I had seen, as you know, there's always these people out there that don't have a clue, but they'll sit and make all kinds of despicable and denigrating comments. So I got pretty incensed. I read some. Yeah, the leftist idiots who've never even, well, they haven't not even been on the battlefield. They never served a day in boot camp. I think 24 hours there, they'd be running home to their mommy, peeing in their pants and crying and whining like a bunch of sissies. So I want to just share something that's kind of brief, and I was inspired to write this. And I put it up on Facebook, and I was hoping some people would see it that didn't understand what they go through.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it right now, Michael, and quite right too. I second everything that you've put up on there.
Oh, can you share that with me, Tim? Can you share that with me?
I have shared it. I have actually done that.
There we go. Yeah,
you ought to be able to see it.
There we go. Yep.
There you go. So here it is.
So let's go, Michael. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and putting work pen to paper as well, and you know, putting that onto Facebook as well. It's really, really appreciated. Because, as I say, there's a lot of soldiers. You say some of your own military have suffered the same consequences.
Well, you know, anybody who's deployed to that hellhole, and that's what Afghanistan is. It's a backward, Stone Age Muslim hellhole. And if I could take a minute just to read this, if it's okay with you, Jeff.
Yes, please go ahead, Mike.
Thanks. Okay, the title is "For Hall Who Would Judge This Royal Marine." Pardon me. You sit in the comfort of your home, and the quiet and safety you enjoy was purchased by men like Sergeant Alexander Blackman. They have signed a blank check that includes up to their very life and their limbs in service of their queen and country. How many of you would willingly, knowingly go into battle, not just once or twice or even thrice? Yet Sergeant Blackman served 3 tours in Iraq, and this is his 3rd tour in Afghanistan. Do you have any idea just 1 tour of duty in a war zone can do to the mind? Things that a warrior witnesses and has to do, and I mean infantry, not those who never go outside the wire, nor one who really understands this unless they've been there and experienced combat. You speak of rules. This is not a conventional war. These Marines and soldiers are fighting a hardcore, bloodthirsty, terrorist-type enemy who do the most abominable and horrific things to human beings. Do you know what it's like to put on a pack, a kit of gear of 60 pounds or more and go on patrol day after day in the blazing heat, all the while not knowing if your squaddies, your brothers in arms, might take a wrong step and be dead or maimed for life? How about the idea of dying on the battlefield and never seeing your wife, children, your mother, your father, your sisters or your brothers again? Do you know what that's like? And being in a firefight with rounds snapping and cracking over your head. These are the things that these Marines and soldiers go through. And then you see your mate next to you. He's been shot or blown up by an IED. His blood is everywhere and pieces of his flesh. You hold him in your arms while he takes his last breath. Those that have seen much combat, death and destruction, mutilated bodies, and have heard the screams of pain and agony carry them with them their whole life. It haunts them in their dreams, and it haunts them while they're awake. The sacrifices made by men like Sergeant Alexander Blackman are immense, and the debt that they are owed can never truly be repaid.
That was great. That was beautiful.
Thank Michael. Thank
Michael.
You so much, and
wow.
So heartfelt, and I think we all felt that, and
yeah,
very
definitely.
Moving at the same time. Thank you so much for that.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to yeah.
No,
to share
you
that
are very welcome, bro. You are very welcome, and there you go, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope it touched a bit of a heartstring with what Michael was saying. Of course, that is what Michael was saying is the true graphical part of what these young soldiers, our warriors, have got to face.
Yeah.
And you've got to have strong will and constitution at the same time for some of the things, the witness that they witness, the harrowing things that they see as well. So, you know, as I say, this is what our show is all supported. Our boys and girls who put their lives on the line for their queen and for their country and do what they think's right. And we will never... ever let them out of their thoughts. That's why I always make a mention near the end of the night to, you know, all of our serving military, wherever they might be, because we've got lots of nations that's involved in this campaign at this moment in time. And thoughts and prayers go out to all them, all the boys and girls, and of course all their families as well. But thank you so much, Michael, for reading that out for our listeners, as well as the chat room and everybody else that listens to the show. I've just got a message actually just a little while ago that we've got someone who wants to say mention a few words on this issue, and this is our very own Frank from the EDL. And of course, Frank, we haven't seen him for a week or so. Let me bring him into the studio and say hello. Frank, it's so good to see you back, and welcome back on this show. Go ahead, you've got a few words you want to say.
Oh, cheers, Jeff. Yeah, good evening, everyone.
Hiya, Frank.
Mike, I heard that. I was listening there, and I've got goose pimples, mate. Bloody hell, that's got to go viral. Yeah, I said Mike. Yeah, Michael. Yeah.
Hey, Frank.
Anyway, I was thinking, as soon as we can find Alexander Blackman's prison number and his address, I reckon we should all send him, well, I'm going to send him a Christmas card and a fiver in a order with all the back.
I reckon that.
And I just won a millions. Annie's birthday. Yeah, I hope it's no more than one birthday, but we get a. I reckon we should flood that place with goodwill, and I mean it's only a couple of pints each, but it'll make a flood. We're just chock
well,
a block
I think
there,
that's
post.
A great, Michael. Frank. And I think there's probably a lot of people think exactly the same way as yourself. And I'm sure that will be the case as soon as we get the prison number and the prison, we will pass the information on to our listeners out there. And guys, you know, put your hands in your pocket, a couple of quid, a couple of pints, whatever. Think of the money could go towards himself and, of course, his family. So let's do it for our brother who's got problems. He's banged away for quite a few years.
Let's do our little part.
15,
yeah, he's done 15 years in the Marines. So I suppose a nice little snuggle up in a solitary, a bit of peace and quiet, and no more ducking bullets for a while, it could do him a bit of good, And there'll be people in there to sort any fucking nightmares he's got. But, he'd be able to handle himself amongst the trash if they let him out amongst them. I feel sorry for those bastards, not him. But,
he's a Marine, isn't he? He's a tough man.
Oh, dearie me, he's gonna breeze this one. But no, it's just, and I don't suppose he'll want all the luxuries and the foo-foo, but the more money he gets, he can look after himself in there, and he'll be able to keep his self-respect by looking after his family as well.
Absolutely. And we have a question from the chat room, and Michael wants to know, is his family still receiving benefits while he's in lockup?
Ah, good point. I'm not sure. Frank, Tommy, I don't know if anybody can answer that question.
It's not quite
the only person
same,
I know who could probably answer that is Glenn, Glenn Saffer. Maybe that's a conversation I might be having with Glenn over the next day or so, yeah?
Okay.
But I don't think it's quite an appropriate question because they weren't on benefits. He was a serving soldier.
No, that's what I mean. Is he still receiving his veterans benefits? I mean, not the benefits, but his veterans.
He's been stripped of all that, Kel.
No, he's been chucked out. Now his missus and his kids have got to go through the system. They've got to go through the ringer.
Oh, good God.
This is what I say. And we don't want to give it to them as charity. We want to give it to him as support, and then he can do the
Amen.
So he's been stripped. He's receiving nothing. His 14, going on 15 years of service, and his benefits, his military benefits, have been stripped. And that means that there's no income for his family. Oh, my God.
Nothing. No, this is what Frank's saying. If we know we've got lots of listeners that listen to our show and are understand the plight of this young serving warrior of ours, one of our Marines, what he's going through, and I'm sure our listeners out there, once we get things sorted out, we will probably do the show Thursday. Once we get things, we might have a bit more information, mightn't we, Kel, Tommy, and Frank? And once we get the information, we will put it out there for people to, send Christmas cards with a little bit of money. Just do what you feel is good for yourselves, guys, because this guy, he's not going to be spending time with his family. Let's look it that way. His family might come and visit him, but it's little short visits. We all know, what it's like. Tommy Robinson, what it was like for him, being banged up and that, and just having an hour here, visits with your family. So let's think of him at this Christmas, where he'll be, and show him and his family some support. I think it'd be appreciated. I know, it's just nice to know that people out there care. We love our military, and we do anything we possibly can to do our little part to make their lives a little bit
better. Jeff, I have a question for you.
Jeff, you could do a lot more than that, just giving him support. Do you remember the oh, what's her name? That's on the train up here. The lady on the train who went crackers and started cursing.
Oh, yeah. I remember
well,
that.
She was put in, I was at the court case. It's only because I'm trying to remember a name that I can't, but I was at the court case and it was horrifying. They said they couldn't put her away for anything. They got upset because she refused to accept this court and wanted to take it higher. And they said they're going to put her away till after Christmas for her own protection because somebody on Facebook threatened her. And that's where they banged her up. But anyway, it got round the EDL because I got upset and I posted it. It got round the world. She got 12,000 Christmas cards and she was out in a week.
This is what I say, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I say, you know, with people, and I know there's a lot of people who's been following the shows and were wondering what support they can get, you know, can give and this, that, and the other. Well, that is it. I mean, Frank, that's, you know, I'm sure that was probably, I'm probably Glenn would have said something to me or Ivan about maybe we could promote that. And that's what we're doing right now. We're going to promote it. Once we get the prison number and the prison, they can, you know, sort of send a card with a couple of quid here or whatever, you know, and it'll all help the cause. Please do that, okay, guys?
I reckon it'd be better if a million people sent a quid than one flesh bugger sent a million quid.
Well, what can I say about that, Frank? That is a good point there, mate. Thank you so much. Tommy, was you going to say something? I think you was going to interject there, was you not?
That was me. It's
Oh, that Jeff? Was you, Mike. I do apologise.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
I have the Yorkshire accent.
This is my thought on this. I mean, I don't know. Sending funds directly to Sergeant Blackmon, I'm not sure how the system is there, but it may or may not be okay, but I was thinking maybe you could find out if you speak to Glenn, who might be in touch with his family.
Yeah.
If they could set, if there's some kind of fund set up, or if there is going to be, or some way, because I would like to donate and see if I could, you know, raise some money here in America. Somehow we can, you know, send these funds over to England and, you know, get it to his family. The problem in prison is, I know, especially in America, everything is very controlled. What they probably would do, because they do it here, is that, especially because of who he is and, you know, this all the publicity generated around the case, is that he may, whatever is sent to him may get screened and, you know, opened and whatnot. So I'm sure cards and letters and things of that nature, you know, be fine, but I was just thinking, you know, will it work actually to send, you know, money directly to him? Maybe you could speak to Glenn and maybe by the next program.
I'm sure, you know, I'll have to talk to Ivan or Glenn, and we'll try to, you know, sort something out, whether it's a fund that the money will go to him and his family through some, through some legal way that we can do it. I'm sure that it can be arranged, and I'm sure it will be.
Yeah,
I think we got the ball rolling tonight with what you said there, Frank. Thank you very much for that input and the thoughts there. So there you go, guys. As I say, once we get a bit more information, we will we will pass the information on to you, our great listeners out there, and to our great people in the chat room. And if you want to, what we discussed, please do. But thank you, guys. Thank you for your comments. Michael, I really, you know, that was heartfelt. That was well put together. And thank you very much for writing what you wrote there. We really appreciate it.
That has got to go viral.
Yes, that I agree, Frank, exactly. It was absolutely superb. But that's what I'm saying. We've got so many great people. You know, people like Michael, people like Tim, who write some great things. You know, we've got so many great people out there that's doing great works on behalf of the EDL and that. So power to you guys, power to you, and to the pen as well. You know, sometimes they say there's plenty of power in the pen. And I would echo that sentiment as well.
Yes, indeed, indeed. I think it is one instance where the pen is actually proving to be mightier than the sword in this instance. I feel we're making a hell of a difference. And all the things that come up, especially with the things that Michael and Frank were talking about just now, you know, this is something which really does strike a chord with a lot of people who are listening now, the plight of this this soldier. I was going to call him Marine A, but of course the judge named him, okay? So Marine Alexander Blackman.
And the judge wasn't named himself.
Well, quite. I mean,
it was he was tried by military tribunal,
yeah.
And the presiding judge was not named in any of the articles that I could come across. I find that rather suspect.
I mean,
we'll do some digging to find out his name and expose him to.
That's
what you have to do, isn't it,
Kel? Mm-hmm.
It's the whole attitude that needs questioning. I mean, all those soldiers have got their, if all those soldiers are monitored with those head cams, then there's some people in the back rooms collating all that information, yeah? And they must have seen some really horrible, disgusting, terrible things, horrific things. They must have done. Hours and hours of it. So what snidey little arse-licking jobs would pick that one out to make a deal out of? Eh?
Well, what? Oh, we discussed this Friday, Frank. I mean, they're despicable. Whoever sort of who put this soldier right in the middle of it, I don't know how they will sleep at night, but maybe they're so thick-skinned that they will do. But do that. It could be one of his colleagues. You do not know. The trouble is, and we spoke about this, Frank, all the time they go into battle and they go into these hostile situations and they got cameras on their helmets. I mean, no way. It gives the media everything they want. They've got the media travelling with them with the cameras on their heads. It's a politically correct driven war. And our soldiers can't operate under those conditions. I think we, as a panel, would all agree with that fact there.
Yep.
Well, if we were a panel that had any pull, they wouldn't be there, would they?
Well,
what
I was going to say, Frank, was when I was trying to expand on saying about the pen being mightier than the sword, it's when you get issues like this where we can discuss them and it strikes a chord with everybody who's listening to the show. And it, as you say, it does go around the world. And if everybody who's listening to the show now actually makes some sort of representation, it can make a difference. You were talking about the lady who received Christmas cards and various other forms of financial support. Well, I'm quite sure if that can be done in that instance, it can be done in this instance. And it only needs, all right, I say only, 10,000-20,000 people to actually sign up and get the momentum going, and it's a show like this that can actually pull something like that together. You say that the panel doesn't have that much power. Well, all right, we don't have formal power, but what we do is have the ability.
We're the voice. We're the voice of the people.
We
speak like a lot of the media will not speak. We'll speak our minds and we'll speak about these things. That, as we say, a lot of the media won't mention it, but we do. And as I say, that's why we become such a voice out there. I think you'd agree with that, Frank, that we have really opened a lot of people's eyes.
I'm just interjecting here, and Jeff, I've sent you some private messages, and if you could read them, that would be very much appreciated, and you can do that after you wrap up this topic. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say...
Just something I'd like to say, you know, when you say 10,000-20,000, I think that is very conservative indeed. I mean, Emma West, that was her name, she got 12,000.
Yeah, well, that's...
Days,
I mean, that's...
She,
that's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm making. If Emma West, I mean, we were all rightly outraged about what happened to Emma West, and I think if anything, there are going to be more people who are outraged about what's happened to Sergeant Alexander Blackman. So I'm only using 10 to 20,000 as an example, okay? Rather, I'm not trying to predict exact figures, and I would certainly hope it would be well in excess of 10,000.
I'm sure it's going to be.
But I'd certainly exhort everybody out there who's listening to make some sort of representation. If you can find out where this guy's being held, if you can make any kind of financial donation to support a fighting fund or to support his family, or if you can get even if it's just a Christmas card, give him something to have a look at over Christmas, and let him know that we're out there and we haven't forgotten about him, and we're going to be fighting this. I think we should mention it, keep mentioning it, and keep it on the front page of the various topics, and make sure that he doesn't just disappear into obscurity. We're going to keep him on the front page until he gets released.
Well said, Tim. And that's what we talked about Friday. But before we maybe move on a little bit, I was going to say that the theme of the show tonight was our warrior princesses and our angels. And I want to bring Tommy on because I know that he's got something just to play specially. Gives us a little time for a quick break while Tommy plays a tune on behalf of the EDL and all that support our great ladies out there. So with that, I'll bring Tommy back in. Tommy, come back in, boy.
I'm here.
You there? Are you there? Are you there, son? Yeah. Are you there?
I was going to say, Kelly, you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here, and I've been waving at Jeff for the last 20 minutes to bring you back on, because you have something here that you uploaded into the studio, and I am absolutely fascinated by it, and it's Fight as One. And
so we put that one on first.
Yeah. Expand on that and explain it. It's fascinating, Tommy.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Basically, how the world is crumbling. And we all know who's crumbling the world. Need I say it? What's the magic word? Islam. That's our secret word for the evening. And it's basically about a couple of years ago we were doing this fight alone, and now we aren't. We've all united together to fight it, and that's basically what this song's about.
Love that. I don't love it, but you know what I mean. I have to say, Tommy, that you're probably one of the most prescient young men that I've ever met, and that you are always, you never sleep. You are a committed anti-jihadist. You are absolutely out there. I am so fascinated by your young age in that you absorb so much. I'm 50 years old, and I don't absorb half the stuff that you do.
This is what I'm saying. We we have got people like Tommy. And there are a lot more. There's a lot more young people as well. I mean, Tommy's become very, very well known to a lot of people simply with the radio shows, and of course he's a bit of a celebrity now because he's done a couple of TV things as well. So, but if that is the precedent for all of our young people out there, that what Tommy does. We're asking you. We've always said it. We want young people with the same type of caliber as Tommy, who loves their country, that wants to do what's right. And people like Tommy and many other people, come on, guys. Do your bit. You can do exactly the same things as what Tommy and what other young people do, and the country's crying out for young people just like you, just like our Tommy. So he does do great work. We've all got to appreciate what he does, and he doesn't miss too many demonstrations as well, does he? Not too many.
Of all the demos this year, I think there's been about 23 demos this year, and I've been to 21 of them.
Nice. Yeah, so two demonstrate, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm saying, the total commitment of some of our young people who is a part of our great organisation. Doesn't matter what part of the country, they will be there. He gets a buzz. Am I right or am I right, Tommy? You get a buzz. Wherever you're going to go, you yeah. are buzzing the night before. You
well,
are
the day at Wakefield, I was on Kel's show. Then a couple of hours later, I was on Skype. Then I was in the bus station waiting for the bus. Oh,
but Tommy, you uploaded this in the chat room, and that is Fight as One. Explain exactly how did that touch you?
Well, I first became concerned about Islam when I was 15, and that's when I started to fight. You know, I will admit I did used to be a keyboard warrior. You know, oh, it's okay, you were
yeah.
about it in your own, they used to moan about it on Facebook, you used to moan about it to my mates, they used to say,
yeah.
well, I'll do something about it then. There's nothing I can do about it, because I guess I can join the BNP, can I? So then 6 short months later, I got my Doc Martens on, got my hoodie on my way to Stoke-on-Trent.
You had your working boots on, Sam. You had your working
Pretty
boots
much,
on.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. Oh, I don't wear my Doc Martens anymore, I went
but,
off them.
Yeah, I mean, we just got to meet, as I say, that I think most of you remember there was what Tommy done a while ago. He actually told us a little story about when he was a young lad, what happened to him when he was trying to befriend these Muslim kids, the way they beat him, and he was really hurt, and because he couldn't understand the reason why. They want to do that to him when he wants to be their friends, and they say we don't mix with your kind. Is that what they said to you, Tommy? Wasn't it something like that?
Yeah,
we don't mix with your kind.
My dad said we don't befriend the non-believers.
And they beat him up. They beat this young man up, ladies and gentlemen. And we remember Tommy put this together, and it was very moving. It was very moving, and.
I think that maybe we should play that a little later on because it's in the studio, and what you did, Tommy, is absolutely brilliant, and I am so proud to be the tech producer on the East Anglian EDO radio show. I'm very proud of Jeff, and I'm very proud of you as the co-host. I'm honored that you would let me come in here and just do a little bit of a tech tweaking, as it were. And I'm also honored that I can speak with you and Jeff every single episode, because you do inspire me, Tommy.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about us all, Kel, and with Tommy, is I think we inspire one another. What we do, we push on together. Am I right, Tom? We push on together, and that's the way we...
Yeah, I was literally pushing you, weren't I?
Oh, yeah.
There's some people pushing me to the front of the cameras, Kel. Definitely.
Come on, get on this hill.
Tommy, anytime you want to play Fight as One,
please,
the tech...
Tom.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, it's half past nine now. We're at the break, yeah.
I know. But
actually,
it
works out perfectly
tonight.
Because, yeah, we're at the bottom of the moving into the second hour,
Kel,
and
I've got to thank Kel, our tech, who does a lot of tech stuff, for giving me heads up on things. And I do apologise, because I was in the middle of the conversation, and I've been pretty good lately, haven't I, Kel? I do keep an eye on little messages, but I was so involved with some of the conversation.
Oh, Jeff, you're an absolute doll. Oh, gosh, we love you.
You are about as reliable as a Muslim doctor during Ramadan.
Yeah. Anyway, once again, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, as I say, we have been discussing, we can discuss a couple of things. There is a number, let's just do the number, give a number to call out for the people out there. There's a number, if you're a Skype user and you're a Blog Talk Radio user, if you look at the top of your screen, you've got a blue circle with an S in it. If you left click on that, you follow the prompts, and when they say, do you want to speak to the host or do you want to just listen to the show, you press 1 on what device you're on, okay? But if you're not on none of those devices and you're outside the USA, the number to call in is 001-858-777-5934. I'll repeat, 001-858-777-5934. Please call in. You know, some things that you might want to speak about, what we've been talking about this evening. This is your platform, guys. We've all said that, and we appreciate it, what calls we've got coming in. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Tommy, because we're going to play, as I say, it's half 9 here. So with that, over to you, Tommy.
Okay, you got it ready,
Kel? Over to you, Tommy, old chat.
Have you got it ready, Kel? Like I said, the studio.
I've got it teed up. It's all here. And here we go, folks. And this is courtesy of our very own Tommy English.
It's quiet.
Yeah, anybody home?
I don't know. Okay, so the cat's back.
Sorry about that. It finished earlier than I thought it would. I just nipped off to make a cup of tea, and, well, there you go.
I imagine Jeff will just be...
Welcome back, guys. I was just waiting to come back in there. Thanks for that. That was a great tune, as usual, there. So thank you very much, Kel and Tommy. for this segment of the show now, guys, we're going to I'm going to pass this over to Kel, because there's an article that Kel wants to speak about, and this all goes. We talk about our warrior princess, our angel. So, with that, I'm going to pass the the mic over to Kel. You've got it. Go, Kel.
Well, I thought that we have been talking about the warrior princesses of the past and the present. I thought that today would be, it's just Kel's tiny little segment today, but I thought it was really important that people realize just how hard that women in the English Defense League work as well. And that includes people like Jenny and Jan and Poppy and Michelle and Kel and all those lovely ladies out there that go out of their way to ensure that the English Defense League has a voice. And we see the men, and we see the children, and we see the women. But I really wanted to focus on the women, and these are the warrior princesses. And I wanted to give some history behind who these warrior princesses are, and that is throughout history, women warriors have fought and led troops into battle. This partial list of warrior queens and other women warriors runs from the legendary Amazons, who may have been real warriors from the steppes, to the Syrian queen of Palmyra, Zenobia. But sadly, we know too little about most of these brave warrior women who stood up to the most powerful male leader of their day, because history is written by the victors. I want to talk to you about the Amazons. The Amazons are credited with helping the Trojans against the Greeks in the Trojan War. They are also said to have been fierce women archers who cut off breasts to aid them in shooting, but recent archaeological evidence suggests the Amazon, they were real, important, they were powerful, they were two-breasted, and they were warrior women, and they were possibly from the steppes. I want to talk about Queen Tomris. Queen Tomris became a queen of the Mesogeital upon the death of her husband, Cyrus of Persia, wanted in her kingdom and offered to marry her to it, but she declined. So, of course, they fought each other instead. Cyrus attacked the section of Tomris' army led by her son, who was taken prisoner and committed suicide. Then the army of Tomris ranged itself against the Persians, defeated it, and killed King Cyrus. But this, ladies and gentlemen, was Queen Tomris. She was a warrior. We have Queen Artemisia, queen of Herodotus, homeland of Halicarnassus, gained renown for her brave, manly actions in the Greco-Persian War's Battle of Salamis. Artemisia was member of the Persian Great Kings Eric's multinational invading. We have Queen Boadicea. When her husband died...
Oh. One of my heroes of all time, Kel.
I knew you'd
woman.
Like that, Jeff. When her husband Prasutagus died, Boadicea became queen of the Iceni in Britain. For several months during AD 60 to 61, she led the Iceni in revolt against the Romans in response to their treatment of her and her daughters. She burned three major Roman towns, London, which we know as London today, Verulamium, which we know as St. Albans today, and Camulodunum, which we know as Colchester today. In the end, the Roman military governor, Statutius Palestinus, suppressed the revolt. This information comes mainly from Athena Review, and that is from athenareview.com, volume 1, number 1. We have so many people out there who are sisters in arms that are fighting the scourge as we know it today. We are so proud to be connected arm in arm in that we are present-day princess warrior princesses. I am so honored to be part of this group. I am also the Red Fox blogger. I am also a princess warrior. I am so proud that I can share with you on the airwaves how proud I am of the people, the past and the present, that join us today in our battle to fight the scourge, because it is so very, very vital that we all connect and we bond as one. I am so grateful, like I say, for people like Michelle, for people like Poppy, for people like Jenny, for people like Jan, for people like Eliza Jane, Luchadora, all these ladies out there that are out there fighting the scourge, and they're taking their own lives at risk.
Pamela Geller. Pamela Geller.
And Pamela Geller.
Yeah.
The Bonnie, Bare Naked Islam.
Yeah, Bonnie.
All these lovely, all these people out there. And I am so proud of each and every one of you.
And so am I.
Tommy.
I mean, we all salute these ladies. We certainly do. We are united as one. It doesn't matter whether we're male, female, whatever. We stand as one. We stand together, shoulder to shoulder, and we march on. That's the only way we can look at it. We do it together. And that's what's made us such a great organisation as we are. Because we have been doing exactly that. We've been walking together, marching together. Our ladies with our sides. And, you know, this is what we've done. And we've become renowned, worldwide renowned, for what we've been doing and we continue to do. And so, you know, that's my salute to everybody that's a part of our great organisation, Kel. And it's only right that we did what we did, what we're doing this evening, as to, you know, recognise all of our angels. There's so many great people out there. I mean, you know, Tracy of the Ipswich division, the work that she's done, the absolutely awesome cakes, EDL cakes that she's done, and many other of our ladies, the works that they do on behalf of
absolutely.
Those.
Absolutely.
Absolutely brilliant.
And this is why...
And Jenny is relentless. She's not a well lady, but she is, you know, she's relentless with the work that she's
this
done.
This is why I felt it was kind of important on this segment to name the warrior princesses. And, of course, Jenny is the first in my mind. She is lovely in
She is
relentless.
She's a great lady.
I also want, yeah. You know, there's. I also want to thank so many people, like the people that visit the East Anglia and EDL radio program, Kath, for example. Sue from New Mexico. And
yeah.
Poppy is the warrior princess.
She certainly is. We've got a warrior
really
song
do.
For our
Well, one
We've
of,
got
one
that
of
warrior
heroes,
song somewhere, guys.
One of my heroes is Joan d'Arc and Joan of Arc and what she did
Genevieve.
In France. And it's these are people who are Christians, and they may be Christian, they may be Jewish, they may be Buddhist, they may be Hindu, but they are doing one thing in common, in that we are standing on common ground, and that we are fighting the scourge, past and present, and hopefully that I hope my daughters carry the torch in being a warrior princess, because we are that. I want to share this song. And I want to thank Jeff again and Tommy. Jeff and Tommy, they have a great show going on here. I am so proud to be part of it. I'm supposed to be the technical producer and not really say a whole lot, but the Red Fox blogger, she turns into the Mad Fox blogger.
We all have our say.
I do have my moments, but I want to share this, and I really, really, really want to thank Tommy for this.
Hey, Tom. Hear my voice and listen well, and the story I will tell, how duty brought a broken heart, and why a love so strong must fall apart. She was lovely, she was fine, daughter of a royal line. He, no equal but for them, it mattered little, for they were in love. Rose of England, sweet and fair, shining with the sun. Rose of England, have a care for where the thorn is, there the blood will run. Oh my heart, oh my heart. Through the summer days and nights, stolen kisses and delight would thrill their hearts and fill their dreams with all emotions that true love can bring. But black of mourning came one day when her sister passed away. Many said on bended knee, she has gone, you must be our queen. Rose of England, sweet and fair, shining with the sun. Rose of England, have a care for where the thorn is, there the blood will run. To the abbey she did ride, with her lover by her side. When they heard the church bells ring, she was queen, one day he'd be king. But men of malice, men of hate, protesting to her chambers came. Foreign prince will have your hand, for he'll bring peace and riches to our land. She said, do you tell me that I cannot wed the one I love? Do you tell me that I am not mistress of my heart? Oh, oh. So with heavy weight of life, she kissed her lover one last time. This land I wed and no man comes. If I cannot have you, I'll have none. Rose of England, sweet and fair, shining with the sun. Rose of England, have a care for where the thorn is, there the blood will run.
I thought
well, there you go, and of course that tune went out for all of our wonderful ladies, our angels, our warrior princesses out there. This is a total salute to all of you.
Absolutely,
the great
Jeff.
Works that you do.
And I thought it was very, very important for us to acknowledge our warrior princesses today. And I especially wanted to emphasize on England, our warrior princesses with the EDL, because it all goes back to the Magna Carta and the Crusades, and the Crusades being a reactionary entity,
yeah.
In that the Moors were attacking the Europe, and it was England that beat them back, because the Crusades, they managed to leave their mark on Britain, and that was in spite of the fact that only one king, Richard I, he actually took up the cross, Jeff. You know,
from
1095
did.
When Urban II called for the First Crusade to the late 15th century,
yes.
When the crusading age fizzled out, Britons took part in the military struggle in the Holy Land, but also in Spain,
amen.
Against the Moors, Prussia, Lithuania, and Novgorod, against the pagans there in the resisting the Turks in Eastern Europe. I am
yeah.
so very proud that my heritage is England. I live in Canada. England is my mother. England gave me my country. England gave me Canada. I am very honored to be part of a global movement in which we are all fighting the scourge.
Well said, Kat. Well, my goodness, mate. And it is true, you know. I look back. I used to talk to Kel and to Tim and to Tommy and to all of our panel. I used to talk to a good friend of mine for many years, an army nose. He remembers him, my old good mate, Happy Crusader. I used to be known as Crusader 777. I've always been a Crusader. And we had the Crusader's Castle. And we used to talk about the Crusades, because my dear friend, he used to go to universities, lecture on the Crusades and that. So I learned a lot from that great man, a great friend of mine, over the time. You know, you learn from one another, don't you, Kel? This is what I say, we learn so much. I used to listen to
absolutely.
Some of the stories he used to tell me about Richard the Lionheart. Did you know, guys, ladies and gentlemen, in one battle alone, Richard the Lionheart, they actually took out 200 arrows during one battle. After he survived, but he had at least 200 arrows that was in him, and he still lived. It was amazing stories that used to enthral me of some of the battles of the Crusaders that they had. And they was relentless, wasn't they? They was one, you know, I've often said this about the Crusaders, there's a lot of misconception. Oh, they say the Crusaders did this and did that. But my goodness me, they had a thing of moving forward. No backing away. The fight must continue, must push forward and onward. And that is the way it was with the Crusaders. And anybody turning back would be executed. That was it. That was the way that things was in those days. And these were true and noble cause that they fought for. And we stand today. We're the latter-day Crusaders of today. The Muslims ain't saying the word Crusader, but I will say we are the latter-day Crusaders, ladies and gentlemen. And we continue to be that. And in honour and respect of people that died before us, that did the noble cause. And that's exactly what you, myself, Kel, Tim, Tommy, Michael, we all do. It's a noble cause, ladies and gentlemen. So we must continue with what our ancestors, the legacy that they left us. And we must continue. Oh, my goodness me, I've just...
I want Tommy to come on, and I want to thank Tommy, because I was speaking with him earlier today, and he helped me put this together. So, Tommy, applause, applause.
Oh, dear. Sorry,
there you go. Say a few words, young Tom. Say a few words, young man.
The cat's just winding me up a minute.
Meow.
Not you. I'm talking about this cat that's on the floor at the minute. It's going through my drawers again.
Who let the cat out? Who?
Meow, meow.
Well, what I would like to say is that the Conservative Party have started paying Facebook to promote the page to get it higher than the likes that we have.
Dream on. Hey,
a camera dream on.
Something
you
that
can only dream.
And it's funny, guys, that they're trying to get people to pay money so that they could get a better status of what we've become.
Mm.
In their dreams, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, quite.
You got to agree, Tim?
I do agree, yes. It's all right. I was just temporarily distracted there for a moment.
He's been playing one of his bloody cat's toys again, pal.
That wasn't me.
That was
enthralling. Oh my God. We got Tim. Somebody let Tim out.
No, this was nothing to do with me.
If this had been a fella show, I'd have got the blame for that.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, this will be my final appearance on the Eastern English and Radio Show.
I'm sure I was in the middle of saying something really important there, and then I was just off my throat.
I thought that's what it was.
Well, the thing about it is, guys, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're all good friends and we do muck about with one another. They try to frighten the life out of me with spiders, so we have great banter between us all, don't we, Tim and Carol?
Well, if we're bringing up phobias again, then we do like to pick on Jeff because he's scared of spiders, but I'll tell you one of my greatest fears, guys. I am scared to sleep with my wardrobe door open.
Not that bloody clown again, is it?
Believe it, no.
That Muslim clown.
Guys.
I know it is. That Muslim clown, Tommy.
It's just got a really loud suit in there, and it makes too much noise for him when he's sleeping.
Oh, Tim.
I'll tell you why, guys. I'll tell you why. When I was little, We got this wardrobe. My grandma got this wardrobe from a car boot sale. I think it was about 5 or 6 years old. And every night I used to hear things moving around, like the coat hangers used to clang together. I could hear my boxes being moved around in it. I thought, oh, God, there's a ghost in there. So ever since then, even up till now, guys, I'm very scared to sleep with my wardrobe door open. Even if it's open a crack, I can't sleep with it open. I still think something's looking at me. So every night if I go to bed...
Well, I think it's a Muslim clown, Tommy. I'll be quite honest with you. It's a haunted Muslim clown.
Probably.
I tell you what to do with it, Tom. I tell you how to handle that one, mate. The way you handle the Moz, just go straight out and take the bloody doors off.
There you go.
We're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
You didn't have to use that much bloody dynamite.
I'm supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Oh, dear. Are we actually going to quit an Italian job here?
Yeah. That's for it.
Yeah. No, yeah, but I mean, we've all got... I'm classed now as an agoraphobic now, and I'm getting a lot of abuse from people now. I'm not only Islamophobic, I'm agoraphobic now.
not arachnophobic.
Oh, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm an arachnophobe.
We'll send you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send you a spider on cocaine and a spider on LSD, and we'll see which one is crawling at this, up on the ceiling.
Oh my goodness me! Oh, the show is running away with us, guys. It's too much humour.
Well, because we were talking about battles, you know, there's always one battle that stood out from all of them with me, and that's Passchendaele. That's the one battle that's always caught my attention. That, you know, it's just very strange how the British planned an offensive and the Germans planned an offensive both on the same day at the same time. That's why they both ended up running into each other.
Mm. No, it's some good point. I mean, Tom is a bit of a you're a bit of a historian, aren't you, back to the... Like the First World War, he has made a lot of studies.
I have got, 6-7 qualifications in history.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
And it shows, because involved Canadians, actually.
Yes.
And that was the, in the First World War.
There were British, Canadian, Australian.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the Passchendaele Ridge. That's a fascinating story. Yeah, and that's from the First World War.
When you look at what our Passchendaele looked like before the start of the war, you got beautiful green open land, loads of forest, and you look at the very day after the attack, it's all gone.
I've driven past it a couple of years back, and it's still pretty spooky.
Yeah, I've been there.
Is it really, Frank?
Yeah. It's still there. Yeah.
Did you ever have a chance to see that movie, Tommy? And Paul Gross. He's a Canadian, and he directed and starred in that, and I believe that was in 2008 that he did this as a tribute to his grandfather.
Yeah.
I think I might have seen that, but I have seen the Passchendaele movie. There's always one quote from that movie that always makes me be inspired, and that's when this 17-year-old lad who lied about his age to join the army. He's on the machine gun, the Germans are charging towards him. He's got his commanding officer with him. It's just them two against about 80 of these Germans running towards him.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Sir, we're out of ammo. Should we retreat?" And he goes, "Retreat, boy. We're British. We don't retreat. Fix bayonets."
I love that. Another quote I love from that movie, and I of course, being Canadian, I had quite a vested interest in watching Passchendaele, and it was met with critical acclaim. But one of the taglines that they use as well is, "In love, there is only one rule: don't die."
Mm. Whoa! Yeah, that is a powerful statement, isn't it, Kel? Absolutely. I love that. You know, that's I'm going to make a note of that. That is so an important and powerful thing.
It's really
thing,
like Goosebumps.
Yes, Frank. But I was going to say, guys, as I say, we are coming up to the top of the hour, and we'd like to do like what we normally do, a roll.
Are you working the angels,
Sorry, Frank.
Maybe it's because we started invoking the angels, eh?
Yeah.
Good point. Good point, Frank. But what I was going to say, Tommy, would you like to do the roll call this evening?
I would do, but I can't see it.
Oh, dear. Of course, yeah, he's on a different device, Kel.
I know. You too. I'm supposed to be the tech producer.
Well, as you say, we are...
That's okay. No. I love it. I love it. I love being here. You guys know that. You gentlemen absolutely know that. But, yeah, do you want to do the roll call? Okay.
Tommy, she does it very well, young man.
Tommy does.
I think she's too lenient on the uniform.
Yeah, well, she is a little bit. I agree with this. I agree. I keep taking their names, Tom, but they don't turn up in the office, though.
Oh, you know what? He's totally correct about that. I'm very, very, I'm very lenient, and I would make a bloody awful.
Just before you do that, Cal, I just want to tell the audience, a couple of weeks ago I was showing Tim on Skype one of my prizes from a demo, and that was actually Martin Smith's glasses.
Yes, glasses, yeah. True, he did. He showed me his glasses.
And that was
good
from
on
Bolton,
you,
and that was from Bolton in 2010. The first time I saw Martin Smith, I knew who he was, so I kind of went for him and I grabbed all of his glasses, and that was it. Still got them now.
And Tommy, he was walking around like a blind man, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. We better shut up and do roll call before we get carried away and banned. Block Talk Radio is probably going to kick us out.
Oh, no, he just borrowed his glasses, Kel. Kel, Tommy just borrowed his glasses. He thought they weren't no good for him.
Martin Smith must be short-sighted. He's short-minded.
That's very true. And walked at the same time. Let's not forget the reason why he was sacked. why his position was removed, because he was a rapist as well. Let's put it out there. What he
Scum
of the earth.
Right.
Scum of the earth. So we mustn't give him any sort of, you know, any pats on the back, because he was a total arsehole. And let's not forget what he was, a rapist as well. So,
I guess calling him a rapist.
All right. We have 25 minutes left in the program, and... I love you. Okay, here we go.
Stand by, Beds. Go on, Tom.
Tommy,
infidels, infidels.
That was lovely. That was wonderful. Great.
Oh, you better tell Cat Strangler to, you know what, me and Tommy, we're going to do this together, and just to let you know that East Anglian EDL, your host is Jeff Mitchell, and your co-host is Tommy English, and his buttons are rather shiny, so I'm very pleased, Tommy. But we have
Should
we take Bigfoot's name, Tommy?
Well, can you take Bigfoot's name? Because we can't find any boots to fit him.
Ah, there you go. And we have Army of British News. Tommy, is he excused today?
He's ginger. He's dead. He's ginger. It's the ginger that we're converting.
Well, you know what? We have Kath with us, and I think Kath's looking rather smart in her uniform, because she's got quite the bosom going on there, Tommy.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. We have to deal with Tim, though. Oh, Tommy. We have to deal with Tim. He's getting rather fat and can't get
cat
back.
Cat Strangler 101.
Can't
meow.
Get back
meow. Who
studio.
Let the cat
meow?
Meow. Meow.
Ooh, you are awful.
Okay, one person that we should be very proud of is Eric Kyle, because his boots are rather shiny, his buttons are rather shiny, and his cap is looking rather smart, Tommy.
He's got a bit of air hanging over his ear, Kel. Take his name.
I think I can see the word Allah imprinted on his beret.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, take
it's
his
a miracle.
Name, John.
It's a miracle.
Well, we have Frank of EDL, who is also joining us in the conversation. So, Frank EDL, I think, Tommy, that he gets a pass tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, I do.
Nah, he's still got his flies undone, Kel. Take his name.
Oh, God.
Do you know, I find this very convenient how Frank and Bigfoot both have their flies down.
Yeah.
Oh, you know me, I'm sitting in my dressing gown and curlers.
Okay, Tommy, we have numerous guests. Take it away, Tommy.
I think I can imagine Frank in a dressing gown and curlers.
Don't.
Have you got your face mask on, dear?
Yeah,
Tommy.
Okay, we're doing roll call. Tommy, we have numerous guests in the chat room. Do you have any words for our lovely guests? Actually, we do thank our guests.
It's
wonderful that the guests join us. And please, guests, get an account. It's free. And join us in the chat room and have your say on the EDL radio program, on East Anglian EDL radio show, the official program of the English Defense League, I might remind you. Oh, Tommy, we've got Lady Michelle.
Ooh. Lady Michelle. Well, she's looking very nice tonight. She's looking very, look, she's got a new beret onto that. My goodness me, that's and badge is shining very well on top of that as well. Well done, Lady Michelle. Absolutely.
There you go.
As long as it hasn't got Allah written on the front of it, we're well away.
No, it's a nice badge. It's an EDL badge. It looks good.
Hey, I'm just being a conduit for Tommy and his roll call.
Yeah, I can't see anyone.
Hey, Tommy, we have Paul Alexander, and I think
awesome.
His hat is a little askew. Should we write him up?
Why is he in a burqa?
Paul, get out of that burqa.
There will be no Islamic promotion on my parade.
That towel does not suit you, Paul. Take it off right now or come to the office.
And plus, we can't remove the veil because we might get done for religious incitement to hatred.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Would you mind removing it, Paul, please?
Before I have to put a Section 60 in place where all face coverings must be removed in a public place.
There you go.
Well, we also have Rem Soldier. And Rem Soldier, he's actually looking very, very smart tonight. So we don't have to write him up. He's looking rather fantastic.
Yes, but I don't think the EDL logo is Bikini Inspector.
Bikini Inspector.
Oh. Tommy.
Good grief, what you like, Tom?
It's written in Arabic.
And we are... there's somebody in the chat room, but I'm saving her for last. But we have Stealth with us as well, and I think Stealth is looking obviously very fetching. So, Stealth, thank you very much.
Yeah, looking very, very good tonight. Well done. I'm very pleased with the inspection, apart from a few people.
Oh, I'm not done.
Carry on, Kel.
I left my girlfriend, Poppy, who lives across
Poppy.
The sea, too far
we
away
can't
from
forget
me,
Poppy.
And it makes me very
well,
sad because I cannot have tea in her kitchen with her. And Poppy always looks absolutely dashing. Mm.
And she's ruthless.
Good point, Tom.
Yeah.
Good point.
And
she
of course
takes
we
no
want
prisoners,
to...
our Poppy. We know a poor great lady and a true
That's
warrior
right.
princess as well. Let's call her what she is, a warrior princess.
Absolutely she is. And, of course, we want to thank our very own Michael for joining us in the conversation, who is on the air with us, and Frank.
Michael, it's always a pleasure, brother, always.
Absolutely. And we always want to thank people who listen on other devices and in the chat room. You're here. You're so important to us in the chat room. But those that do listen on other devices and listen in archives of that, Jeff and Tommy are so very appreciative. I'm Kel the Red Fox. I'm the tech producer. And I'm very pleased and honored that Jeff and Tommy invite me here on their show every time, Thursday, Friday, Sundays, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 8:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And, of course, the panelist is our very own Tim. Okay, I think I'm done. Hey, Tommy, how'd I do?
Tonight, guys, I've got to say how impressed I've been with some of the comments I've been seeing in the chat. It's always buzzing. We've always got a lot of banter going on and a lot of great conversations, a lot of great links going out there. Once again, I've got to thank you guys for all being here this evening. And as I was saying, it's been so busy this evening. Have you noticed?
Somebody is telling me that I forgot Stealth, but I'm pretty sure I brought up her because I told I said that she was looking rather dapper.
Yes, Stealth. Okay. We never get you, Stealth. You're a great lady and another warrior princess. So tonight, as I say, has been the theme of Warrior Princess tonight, and we did expand a little bit on the soldier and some of the things that people can do. And we will keep you informed of any future developments in that way. I will be talking to Ivan, and I will be talking with Glenn over the next day or so. So, you know, stay tuned,
absolutely.
Guys.
And I know I'm running down your time, but I Sue from New Mexico could not join us tonight. But I think that we should give her an honor mention because Sue from New Mexico always tweets our the show for Jeff and Tommy.
She most certainly
does. She'll be listening in an archive at a later date. So when she's listening, I want Sue from New Mexico to know how much the East Anglian EDL radio show appreciates all the work that you do behind the scenes.
Yeah, we love you, Sue, don't we, guys? Tommy, she does some great tweets. So she, you know, Tommy's a tweeter. She's tireless, isn't she, Tom, what she does, the work?
Yeah, she's always tweeted me something, I can tell you that.
Yeah. Well, there you go, boy. But once again, I'd like to thank everybody, as I say, especially who's... Michael, some of the things we've been discussing, would you maybe like to make a couple of comments on some of the things that we've been discussing this evening?
Well, thank you so much, and I'd like to address this to Tim. He's such a knowledgeable and intelligent man. And
I didn't know this. It's like the time I went into school and they said to me, oh, Tommy, you seem intelligent. So I went, oh, I seem intelligent. How lovely of you to say.
Go on, Michael.
Tommy,
well,
stop it.
We've got actually... we've got somewhat of a scientific revelation here. I don't know if any of you have seen this, but on November 30th, Dr. Eugene McCarthy, he had made a claim, possibly may have some merit to it. We'll have to investigate it further, that according to genetic studies, that the human race came into existence when a chimpanzee mated with a pig. Now, of course, the relevance of this... new information would be to the followers of Muhammad. And I'm just wondering, Tim, what are your thoughts? How do you think they'll take this news?
Well, I'm sure they'll all be absolutely delighted if it turns out to be true. I don't actually know the scientific reasoning behind this or what experiments had to be done in order to determine this. I imagine it's going to be related to some form of DNA extrapolation, but I don't know. But if it turns out that there's a level of proof which makes it, you know, pretty much certain that that's it, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interesting comments, shall we say, coming out from the Muslim world as they try and explain that one away.
Well,
with reference to the Quran.
If I can get in on this.
Would you please give us your thoughts, Tommy?
So, if that is true, right, do you think that's who Muhammad's parents was?
Whoa, there you go. That gives that another food for thought. Well,
because if
it would explain
happens,
a lot, wouldn't it, Tommy?
It would explain a lot.
Well, she was pregnant
but
for
you
4 years.
But that you think the hatred for pigs... Well, we might be onto something new here. That this intense hatred that Muslims have for pigs.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we should do a follow up on this maybe next week because if there is any truth to this. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, this could be a very problematic situation for Muslims, and knowing that somewhere in the gene line, going back thousands, maybe eons of time, that there is some genetic DNA from a pig. Now, how would they deal with that? That's the big question.
I suppose we could say it's like making pork.
Well, you can understand why they don't eat them then, can't you? Because, I mean, we disapprove of cannibalism as well, don't we?
Very good, Frank.
Yeah, well, yeah, that is quite a very good point, actually.
Yeah, very good.
Well, I think you've opened up a nice big can of worms that we can really get our teeth into, Michael, and I've got to thank you for that. It's something I'll be pondering on during the week, and maybe we can have a discussion about it. Maybe we'd like to see some outrage from some of these Muslims making comments about it.
Who can tell?
Oh, I can do outrage. You want outrage? Put it my way. I always have outrage.
Yeah. Is that
I'm a Muslim and I'm outraged that think my ancestors was a pig.
Oh, sorry about that.
This is how it's done. This is how it's done. If you've got a Muslim who is outraged, then it's, I'm a liberal and I'm outraged that my Muslim brothers and sisters are outraged that Muhammad's father could be an ape.
And it's, Tommy, and it's all been taken out of context.
And then the controversial street protest by the EDL.
Trust the EDL to stir it up. We wanted to keep this secret. We knew it all along, but
speaking about being taken out of context, right, I'm going to give you two things here. Now, I'll give you a quote from the Quran. Take not Jews or Christians as your friends.
551.
Now, that's been taken out of context, apparently. So, in Mein Kampf, when Hitler said we must invade Russia so the German race can survive, was that being taken out of context?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Oh, that's definitely proof of
fault, isn't it? I think that this genetic PhD man, this Dr. Eugene McCarthy, I think there'll probably be a fatwa issued against him for such a revelation. What do you think, Tim?
Well, I think you have probably got it right.
It's probably possible. I mean, when you look back at some of the scientific discoveries, and I'm thinking in particular like Copernicus. Okay, who discovered that, was instrumental in discovering the fact the world was round. I actually put a message on Twitter about what they might well have said. You know, everybody knows the earth is flat. That's in Quran chapter 18, verse 86. Who are you going to believe, that Copernicus guy or Allah? I had some comments, what we've just been discussing, Tim.
I did get a comment actually from a pig, believe it or not, and I was wondering if I could just play a little comment what I just mentioned to him, and he just mentioned back. So here we go.
Son of a bitch! Son of a bitch! Gun! You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
I think it's entirely possible he's going to end up with a fatwa if it turns out that he's pretty much conclusively got that point, because at the end of the day.
Have we lost him?
Oh. Where did he go? No, he's still here somewhere.
Hello, are you still there?
It just went quiet, Tim. You went all quiet on us. I thought it was...
The revolution begins. Get your balaclavas on, lads.
No.
Are you back there, bruv?
Yeah, well, hopefully. I was just going to say that what happens when Muslims are presented with scientific evidence, the first reaction is, oh, well, it did say that in the Quran all the time and we just weren't reading it the right way. But, yeah, you know, a devout Muslim will believe that the earth is flat, because that's what it says in Quran chapter 18, verse 86. And anybody who says the earth is round is, of course, a heretic and has to be burned at the stake. So I'm sure this guy will get the same.
Well,
thing.
We could always ask Robert Spencer. You know, he might know.
I'll tell you what, it'd be great to actually ask Robert Spencer. Maybe one day you'll grace our
studio. I'll send you a tweet. I normally speak to Robert Spencer. What is it? Am I asking him? Was Muhammad's parents a pig and a? What was the other one?
Pig and a chimp.
Okay, question from
Chig.
Question from EDL Radio Show was, I can't even spell Mohammed, so I'll just put that fascist paedophile.
Just put Momo.
Yeah, go on, put Momo. Go on then. Was Momo's parents, pig, and what was it again? Pig and a what?
And a monkey.
And a monkey.
Monkey?
Is that monkey?
Right. Then,
it's cheeky monkey.
Right, then, at Jihad Watch, question from EDL Radio Show, was Momo's parents a pig and a monkey?
Because it's what was actually said by this gentleman. So maybe you'd might like to mention a gentleman, the article that he wrote on. And the gentleman's name again, Tim, was...
Eugene McCarthy, Dr. Eugene.
You guys
McCarthy.
Are going to get yourselves in a whole lot of trouble, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'll
kill you.
Good
I kill you. I kill you.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, whether it's a pig or a goat, an ape or a pig, it doesn't matter. If we could cope with either of them, it's just they've got to make their bloody mind up which one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good point there. Good point.
Yeah, first of all, it's Tesco's on the horses, and the animals give us Islam.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it made me think then. I've just noticed the time now, ladies and gentlemen, and my great panellists this evening, as say we are, we're down to about 5 minutes. Once again, I'd like to thank everybody that's been a part of the studio this evening. Of course, that's our very own Tommy English. Kel's put aside there, my EDL son. that's Tommy English.
I put that in the studio. My EDL son.
Yeah.
But I have more brothers than a duckling that's lost in the pond.
Well, there you go, Tom. But also, we got our very own Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton, who really struggled once again to get through the gap flap, but he still arrived and was a great part of the panel this evening. So thanks again, Tim. And of course, Frank, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show and a part of our panel this evening. So thank you very much for calling in and being a part of our discussion evening. And hopefully, as I say, this Thursday, I'll be probably having some talks about some of the earlier things that we're discussing with Ivan and Glenn probably over the next hour or so. And hopefully Thursday I'll have some info, maybe some information, what we were still talking about, and hopefully for our listeners out there to send a little bit, maybe stick around in their pocket, a couple of quid or something. So about that young soldier and his family. So from us all, that's me, Jeff, that's Kel, a.k.a. the Red Fox, Tommy, Tommy English, our very own Tommy English, and us all, and everybody in the chat room has been absolutely superb to see. It's been buzzing. It's been a place to be tonight. Guys, you guys who are the guests there, you know, join us. You know, instead of just being a guest, just put a name to it and join us so that maybe you want to call in and, you know, because it's a great place to be. This is a great place to be. So, some final thoughts just before we start to wind the show down, guys. Let's start from the top. Tommy, your last thoughts for the evening there, bruv?
First demo was 2014. It's Sleaford, and that's on the 11th of January. They want to build a mosque there for 0.3% of the Muslim population. Sleaford, it's bottom of Lincolnshire.
Sleaford, yeah, but it's the other side of Norwich, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Tommy, I was talking with Ivan about that, and I said, what was the premise behind the demo on January 11th? And he sent me an article, and I put it in the Red Fox blogger for everybody to read, and that article got a lot of hits.
Oh,
so there you go.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that. Michael, just your last thought for the evening, because we're down to about a couple of minutes now, so I'm pushing to the bar. So, Michael, your last thought for the evening.
Well, my last thought would be prayers for Sergeant Blackman, his family. And hopefully a big demo in the UK in the future, as you said, Jeff, will be organized to continue the battle.
Well, the last I heard, the latest I've heard towards that, Mike, is that there's going to be a silent candlelit vigil. Soon.
Very good.
Yeah.
And
well, that's great to hear.
And
I've got 60 seconds. Tim, just a quick and Kel, just a couple of quick seconds because I've got 60 seconds. So just a couple,
yeah, we'll carry on to archive, but in lifetime, I want to say thank you to Martin Hive, who provides us with all the links that we share on the East Anglian EDO radio show. There you go, Jeff.
Okay, thank you, guys, and I've got to go now, so of course, we are going underground. Good night, take care, stay safe, God bless you all, and off again from all us, the panelists.
And Australia.
Oh, Surrender.
Oh, Surrender. Oh, Surrender.
Jeff, damn it. Oh, goodness
sake. Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the point. Things happening here today, a show of strength with your five brigade. I'm so happy and you're so kind. You want more money, of course, than the mine. My nuclear test was far from its prime. Then the public gets what the public wants, but I want nothing. I have the dust, I'm going out on the ground. Where's the prospect for you? Pleasure as they hate me, I've been up already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging through your facts. You see, here's what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader to place your trust, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets, but I don't give up.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're back into the archives. good to see. My goodness me, I've got quite a few people tonight in the studio there. And once again, guys, my goodness me, doesn't the time go so quick on our live section? It's amazing.
Certainly
and
does.
I looked at time and I thought, I'd like to give everybody that, you know, the last moment for the listeners, you know, the last thoughts of the evening. And it was a bit of a rush at the end, wasn't it, guys? But still managed to get the end of the show, though, run a bit of music anyway.
Yeah, no worries.
I reckon it ended perfect. There was nothing more you could add to that.
We're making so many enemies as we go along. I just love it.
Yeah, that's the idea, isn't it? I thought that was the whole point.
You can't make omelettes without breaking eggs, Kel, as they say.
Yeah, this Ahmed, he's still hanging around. I swear Ahmed is going to be a regular occurrence here.
I don't want it. I kill you!
Shut up, Ahmed.
Yeah, he's always going to be hanging about, isn't he? Sharpening his knives up for us. And, my goodness me. And he's ready to blow himself up. He's got his silver... I see him walking around the other day with silver foil. I don't know what he's got that. Oh, of course, he's, yeah, that he's put around your private parts before you blow yourself up, isn't it? Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you might see... This is the finer points of one of our jihadists. You see, their way is that... before they go on one of their suicide missions, sort of thing, when they strap their bombs to their backs and do that, what they do is they normally go to the supermarket to buy some silver foil, so it's got to be out of a new box, and then they wrap their private parts around with it just before they're going to go on there to do what they do. And the reason being is that, well, if they get blown up, they like to think that their private parts are protected when they get to Jenna. So if you want, you know, wonder what we're talking about. That is a good point. And if you look at the finer points of the jihadists, that's exactly what they do. So if you want, if you see a guy walking about with silver foil, watch him closely.
Yeah, he's on his way to see
God.
Jenna. I've heard about
it's,
that.
He probably wraps them. He probably wraps them because it's cheaper postage than a brain.
Oh, God. I'm self-muting myself.
Now, Tim, Tim, I have a question for you. Cause
yeah,
now, the whole idea of a Muslim consuming alcohol is very haram.
Uh-huh.
But we understand that, isn't there a promise in Jannah of rivers of wine?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there is, but this is non-alcoholic.
Yes.
It doesn't have any alcoholic effect on you. So although it would appear to be wine for all intents and purposes, it doesn't have the alcoholic effect that will get you drunk. So
if you're bigger, you don't get hangover.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
If you're bigger, you don't get hangover.
Oh, quite.
But they still say rivers of wine.
Are we discussing drinks?
That's a whole thing. It's hypocritical, isn't it?
Wait. Where's the proof that that's not fermented wine?
Oh, proof.
Anyway, what annoys me is...
We're talking proof here, are we? Oh, right, okay.
Am I going to have to take this to Audacity and edit this show, Jeff?
I think it's classic. No, leave it all in.
Because
that is what we do. We don't edit things. We let the shows run as they should be run.
And that's true. The only time that I would ever edit any Blog Talk Radio program is if we got an absolute terrible troll who dropped some rather bad bombs or were personal attacks. But no, ladies
yeah,
and gentlemen,
we don't.
What you
we
see
don't.
Is what you get.
That's what I say. You know, with what we do, and we've always said that, we don't
believe in
censorship. We believe in running the show. Most of the time, there's certain things that we're going to discuss, and we just run with them. We expand on them, like Tim says, you know, we take it to different levels. But it just makes it interesting for our listeners, and I think that I don't get too many complaints from what we do, so, you know, we must be doing all the right things.
Jeff and Tommy, no, you both don't, and that's great because being the tech stuff person here, I don't get a whole lot of complaints in my inbox. Well, I don't get any complaints in my inbox, but believe me, if somebody dares to call in and call up Tommy or call up Jeff and they start calling them crude names, I will take that to Audacity. So be warned, trolls. Cal Fritzy is
on the case.
On the case. Yeah.
Well,
is there any way
a good point,
Cal. Nice on my phone then that I get every day.
Yeah.
I tell you, so something about the question that Michael asked me about whether you've got rivers of wine in the Islamic paradise, Jannah, I mean, that's what you're talking about, presumably, when you mention Jana. It's not just that rough-looking girl down the road, Jana, because, you know, you want to stay well clear of her. You're talking about the Islamic paradise. And I was wondering, somebody asked me on Twitter the other day, and they said, what would it be like? Because they know about some of the things I've written in the past, which have been somewhat scathing, okay? And they say, what would it be like if you wrote a sitcom set in the Islamic paradise? Who would you get to play Allah? And I thought, well, Brian Blessed might be quite good. And then you could have sort of Rowan Atkinson playing Muhammad. And I've got this scene forming in my mind like Muhammad Blackadder, and I can see it developing now.
You've got a fatter. I'll tell you what, Jim. If the Muslims, you'll have a fatter on your head after tonight, mate.
Well, when we win this war, I'm pretty sure I will have something like that.
Yeah, we'll definitely have a Muhammad Blackadder.
Maybe we'll have like a very Islamic. You know, on the bus, they're like, Muhammad, shall I take me baker off Muhammad?
Well, I'd actually...
Well, they've got
in
Canada, isn't it, Kel? They've got the little house on the... Like, a little house on
the...
Oh,
that ridiculous show. And thank God it was cancelled. It was called Little Mosque on the Prairie. And
that's the right.
Premise
little
of that show was to make
I've
the white...
some little snibblets
yeah,
of that.
It was to make the white man look stupid and the priest in the town, he was a bumbling fool, and the imam was the all-knowing, all-informative. Yeah. It was just absolutely ridiculous. It's a family that moves into Saskatchewan, and the one daughter, she's a Christian, and she marries a Muslim, and just how wonderful we coexist here in Canada. And Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, they carried that. And ladies and gentlemen,
they
Canadian
lapped
your tax.
Well,
gosh, yeah.
Do you remember that taxes program? We have
Well, this was our tax dollars at work. This is I paid for this claptrap. And the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, they dare to air this. Thank God the show was cancelled.
So even
after
the floor,
only,
didn't they?
Yeah, it was cancelled after two seasons, but oh my God.
So
what
even the
liberation.
It still ran for two seasons, though, so they did give it a quick blast, didn't they?
Well, it's like we had Shameless in this country, wasn't it? And towards the end of that show, it got very good.
Exactly, yeah. Tommy.
Yeah, it got really good. They met this Muslim family that they were being targeted by everyone. Like, when they said, oh, well, it was your lot who killed Jesus. Oh, Jesus was killed by Muslims. Oh, you're racist, and all that. And then you had them all coming in with bakers and bills. I'm thinking, this isn't the Shameless I used to watch. Because then they start videotaping in the mosque and all that, saying, oh, yeah. And start making friends with the local gay guys. Oh, yeah, we respect you and all that. It was all terribly staged.
Well, we know that.
Oh, yeah.
If you wanted to do a serious taking the mickey out of Islam, I think it had run longer than Fools and Horses. There's so much material. But the miracles...
Oh, my goodness, Frank, you know it, mate.
Mrs. Brown's boys would be good at something like that, I think. I think they could get away with it.
Oh, yeah.
But now, I'll be quite honest, I don't think, because of the, well, I don't know, because of the political correctness thing that we live in at this moment in time, I don't think anybody would attempt, there was someone who did it, and they reckon caused all riots over the world, but this was done in in June or July, something like that, and they tried to blame it onto this guy. He's still languishing in the prison in America. The guy about Muhammad, I can't remember the name, what it's called, but and it was sort of it was left that long. It had been floating out there.
since about June or July. It was only in September that they decided that they was going to make a big statement about it, and there was their excuse for the Benghazi. What we saw in Benghazi was just a bloody excuse for them to do it.
Don't get me started about Benghazi.
Yeah, we know. It was just an excuse. It was a smokescreen for what was really happening, and we know about the Obama regime, the way they sat back and done nothing. The arseholes. Let's call them what they are, a bunch of arseholes.
Have you noticed that the special forces in America, I saw it on Facebook, it's still around somewhere, but the special forces in America are really getting cheesed off, and the genuine security agencies, the real patriots in the security agencies are getting cheesed off. It's getting beyond a joke. So once they turn their bloody attention to him, he's got no chance.
Exactly, Frank. And because what went down there, it was unforgivable. That was unforgivable. We know Clint, and we know they watched what was going on. We've often talked about it, and I think Michael might have a few things to say about that as well. It was a disgrace.
I would love to hear what Michael has to say about this. Michael being involved with the military and being in the United States. Oh, Michael, I would love to hear your input on this.
Yes, please.
Here's the short version. The consulate in Benghazi was set up to facilitate a gun-running operation to al-Qaeda-type terrorists in Libya, of course also participating in the jihad in Syria. So Ambassador Stevens was kind of like the go-to guy, and he was the liaison to the al-Qaeda elements in Benghazi, because America had no need to establish such a facility there. You know, we have our embassy in Tripoli. I believe that certain elements of the United States government I'll go as far as to say that they may have had a hand in this indirectly, because the whole layout inside that consulate was known to the Muslim terrorists, you know, who carried out that attack. And there were it was such a terrible situation where members of this Libyan security force, who, you know, were also in with the Muslim terrorists, Ansar, I think they're called, if I'm right, the group actually that perpetrated it, were all kind of connected. So when the whole thing ensued, the Libyan security force that our government hired, which is insanity, you know, to hire people like that to guard a facility in such a highly dangerous place, they all kind of disappeared. And then you-know-what hit the fan. But we had drones flying above. Everyone knows that. So these drones were recording everything.
That's a common thing, isn't it, Michael?
The
thing that got me is they had at least the warning went out 7 hours before. They had seven hours. They had people in the vicinity. They had drones flying over.
I cannot believe that they didn't know what was going on. Well, there was a quick reaction force, you know,
exactly.
Not too far away that was going to, you know, they wanted to deploy.
4 hours, I think it was.
Right, but they were told to stand down. And, you know, rhetoric and nonsense. They tried to lay the blame on the State Department, but the truth is it goes all the way up to the White House, because Obama was being briefed on this from the minute it ensued. And, you know, if you see that photo, that famous photo of him and these other idiots in the Situation Room watching this thing. So they all in there, you know, him and his advisors, and they're watching this whole thing unfold. And it was a deliberate action by this so-called president. It's really treasonous, because the oath he takes, of course, is to, related to the Constitution, what has to do with defending Americans, and, you know, that's overseas, too. And he deliberately...
Especially the ambassador as well, Michael, which is really,
right.
You know...
Well, that's
like
the first time an American ambassador had been, you know, killed in a terrorist attack. And...
Michael. We got to put it down. He was grabbed.
Well, he was tortured.
He was abused.
Yeah, he was
abused
by these savages too. And
these are the people our governments are supporting.
Well, you know, the problem is that look at David Cameron and the whole MPs and all those corrupt, people. And we have
yes.
the same thing here in the United States where we have...
We do, Michael.
Yeah, we don't have any representation. You know, these people don't represent us, of course. No. Anyway, after all
and that's
this...
that's where we
all later,
stand together because we know that
well,
is the case, Michael. We know that we stand amongst
yeah.
treacherous people who do nothing
oh,
but try
yeah.
to destroy our great nations. Thank goodness there's people like us who stand up and say, you know what, this is wrong. And we will continue to fight against those people, speak out against them, because they're just scum of the world, they are, that create these problems. Because it was the people like them. We won't be where we won't be doing radio shows like we are today, because we'd have politicians that would speak on our behalf, would do the things that needs to be done, and have a backbone. Than betraying their nations, their countries. And I do believe all of them will be accounted for their inactions of not doing what they were supposed to do when their countries and the world needed them. And I do believe there will be a time that these people will be held accountable. I hope and I pray anyway, Michael. I really do.
Yeah, well, look,
can you
even
imagine
after,
mm-hmm.
after a whole year... Even after a whole year that no one's been held accountable or the United States government did not pursue these terrorist scum, and they're not going to, and it's just an absolute tragedy, the people that died, you know, two Navy SEALs, two men who were formerly with the Navy SEALs, and two other Americans that were killed.
The heroes,
we live in, you know. That's why we the people
they fought
to
the last bullet, didn't they? These guys were
they
heroes.
They did, yeah. Well, you know.
Just imagine this, mate, how it must have felt for them. They're
yeah.
in their little compound on this little island, more or less, figuratively speaking, surrounded, yeah?
Exactly.
And then suddenly all their local security disappears. It must be like standing on a tropical island and then the tide suddenly disappears. Right over
yeah,
the island.
It must have been horrific. But these guys were seasoned.
People watching it happen and they did nothing about it.
No,
this
disgraceful.
Is...
I think you're the same as me, Frank, and the rest of the panel. We're totally disgusted with the ineptness of that, the Obama regime.
It's not incompetence. They're doing it on purpose. It's deliberate.
This is deliberate. This whole thing was set up. It was organized way in advance. And like I said, our government here in the U.S. has a lot more involvement with this than we'll ever know. You know, the truth, I don't believe will ever come out.
It's already knowing now. Get rid of the buggers.
I agree with you, Frank. It's easier said than done.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all stuck with these corrupt politicians and leftist-type governments in the West these days.
Yeah,
that's the reality of it.
You're right, Michael. And as I say, we stand together against these people. You know, to me, they're doing our great nations and countries a lot of harm, and even if we recovered, you know, some of the damage that's been done, it's going to take quite a while for our countries to get back onto a standing of what it was, say, 30, 25, 30 years ago.
Come and think of it, Jeff, this could be turning into something good. I mean, it was a lot of old rusty cranks and bloody nuisances, and there was a lot of things going wrong and rotten in the old system. It just suddenly, when the pros turned up, it just showed up. The symptoms come out bigger, that's all. It's just...
Oh, that's amazing. You make a good, valid point there, Frank,
just to remind you that you have
yes,
to check
girl.
Your inbox every once in a while, just letting you know.
I do apologize. What am I like?
Sorry, I missed that, Kel. What was that?
I send Jeff private messages and suggestions, ideas, and messages from other people. And Jeff is rather remiss about checking his inbox. Jeff, you're a naughty, naughty boy. No cream for you. And
and
Cat Strangler, we're going to ensure that you do not fit through the cat door. Meow! So bad.
What I was going to say is... Kel, I've got your message in that. Thank you. And I do apologize. You know, I do get carried away when we're having a discussion about certain things. I get a bit animated. Is that the word?
No.
Animated.
I'm teasing you.
Anyway,
I'm teasing you. God love you, Jeff. Carry on.
I'm teasing you. Give us old fellas a break.
I'm such a brat.
This is all new stuff to us. All this
See, ladies and gentlemen, next Thursday, the show's going to be Sans Kelfertsy.
I've got to say thanks, Kel, for giving me a bit of an edge out on things. And tonight, as I say, sometimes I do get carried away a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, as most people know. I'll get a bit animated, especially things that we've just been discussing there.
You mean
agitated, really...
Jeff? You said animated.
Him as well.
Passionate.
Thanks, Tommy. I was going to say, I'd really like to play a song tonight, and this is for our Tommy. But I'd like to thank you all for being here, part of the archive. Session this evening. So we'll be back again this Thursday. But for tonight, I'd like to thank you all, Tommy, Tim, Kel, Michael and Frank, for doing all what you've done. It's been an absolutely awesome show this evening, as usual. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kel to play out this tune for our Tommy tonight. So with that, Kel, I'll pass it over to you. Thank you, Kel, for all you've done this evening as well.
Tommy and Jeff, it is my absolute pleasure to sit in as the tech producer and also offer a big infidel voice, because I do that the best. Absolutely.
Is that Kel Shrinking Violet Fritzy I hear there?
I love it too.
So they wish.
It
But it's great. It's great to be here. I love the archive portion. I love that Tommy is here and Jeff is here. I really appreciate Michael and Tim and Frank. And who's this? Bacon is good for me. Oh, that's me.
I meant to read that out. Bacon's good to me. That was a little nickname tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
I'll be shop tomorrow when I go to work, when they tell me, Tommy, you've started the bacon supply again.
God bless you.
When you was doing a roll call, you were saying, this picture, she looks nice, she's changed it. Where do you find that? Whereabouts is that? Where can I follow that bit and see the pictures?
Oh, it's right on the top, mate. It's right on the top.
Right on the top.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have a look. Well, I'll carry on, chaps. I'll wander around here trying to get the hang of it.
Okay, so Frank, what's the guide? Great to have you call in tonight, and great contribution as usual. As I say, that's what we love about the panel shows. But tonight, I'm going to say good night, guys, because I need to make myself a nice cup. So I do feel a little bit dry, and I haven't had really too much time because I've walked away and I come back last time and the show had started before, so I thought I didn't want to do that. I want to be here.
Frank. I want to say thank you to everybody, and I want to thank Michael and Tim and Frank, but I especially want to thank the co-host of this radio program, and that is Jeff No Surrender and Tommy English. You folks make my job so easy. And I appreciate that.
Well, I do when I see
well,
your
maybe because
little messages
we aren't
sent me,
Kel. Well, making your head hard enough.
Hey, Tommy, it's all right when I answer, because sometimes I get carried away, don't I, mate? And there's Kel's same thing about the show, and there's me sort of chatting away, and not a thing in the world I'm thinking, and then there's Kel sending me a little message.
I'll tell you something, guys. If me and Jeff were on a bus one day travelling from Ipswich to Aberdeen, just me and him sat on a bus together, I can imagine he'd be flying off one of the emergency exits before we even get out of Ipswich.
Oh, God, yeah. I remember you telling me that when we were on Skype with Jeff.
Nah, Jeff, you're great to talk. We've had the longest Skype conversation we've had, Jeff, was 16 hours.
Oh, my God. Could you believe it?
Oh, my God, Jeff, you broke your old record with Skyping with Canada. We only went for 12.
Well, you know, I always said right at the beginning, I'm a great talker, and I talk for England, and how true it is.
Yeah, you're a
and
great talker, all right.
But in the good way.
Well,
is there any way I can join in the Scottish?
Okay, we're turning this into a you and me club, and that's not fair to the other panelists that are here. But it has been a wonderful program, Tommy and Jeff, and once again, thank you for having me on board with you and Michael and Tim and Frank. It's been a great program.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
Cheers.
And of course,
cheers,
our very own,
well,
Strangler 101, Mr. Tim.
I would like my closing words to be this.
Oh, and just to remind Jeff and Tommy's listeners that Tim is my co-host. Pardon me. Tim is my co-host on the Red Sox blogger on Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and that is 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And tomorrow we are going to be discussing the four stages of Islamic conquest. So please try to be there and join Tim and myself for that.
Yes, indeed.
Interesting and educational. Ladies and gentlemen, as you say, with the shows on Blog Talk Radio, there's so many great radio hosts, co-hosts. This is a great place to be. And for your information, and if you're not too clued up about things, please come to our radio shows and you will learn so much from each and every one of us who do these radio shows.
Yeah.
So I'm going to wrap it up now, guys. And as I say, I'm going to pass it over to Kel.
Sorry.
Frank, I hope you be with us this Thursday, brother. You know, we can have another great show. Okay,
yeah,
then, buddy.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Anyway, I've got to thank you all. And, of course, to our archive listeners out there, thank you guys for tuning in to our archive session. You know, we are a little bit laid back, but then again, we did get into some deep stuff once again, as we do, being panelists, that's our job. We like to expand and we like to dig a bit and delve. And, you know, it's always good for people to hear our views. And now and again, it's great for you guys to call in with some of the things and touch on with things with us, because that's what we're here for. So with that, Kel, I'm going to pass it over to you, and I'm going to say good night to everybody. Take care, you stay safe, and we'll see you again this Thursday. So over to you, Kel. Good night, guys.
Absolutely. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Yeah, good night, everyone.
Not an option.
Ever.
Ever.
Never.
Never.
Ever.
Well, I have thought about it.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's only me and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one and I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk alone.
empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps and I'm the only one. I walk up my shadow.